Wow, that was really cool during the Gloria. That awesome sound back there, because to me it sounded like I was a little closer than you were, but for me it sounded like a rocket. It was getting ready to go off, Curtis, and it was perfect, because isn't that what happens at Mass? At the Holy Mass, we are lifted up. We are, it's like takeoff, you know? And you know, the Mass is where we exit this world. We're not in this world right now. We may think we are, but we're not in this world right now, because we're in this rocket ship entering up through to heaven right now. We're being lifted up. And if only we could see what is going on right here at this Holy Mass. It is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. This is our faith. And this is why this is the source and summit of everything. I was looking at the exit sign. I celebrated Mass for a high school retreat at Oldenburg Academy not that long ago, and they had me, they had the altar arranged, and I lifted it up, the host, and there was an exit sign like on the wall back there, and I was looking at the host, and then I saw this exit sign. I thought, the Mass is the exit out of this world. And this is where we are lifted up into a whole nother reality. We're lifted up into the heavenly realm. And as heaven and earth come together in Jesus at this altar, which is perfect. Today, folks, I have a quick little thought about each of our readings. And it should be pretty quick on those. But anyways, here we have this poor Job in our first reading and dealing with very many sufferings. We all know how much he suffered. And the question, as I kind of prayed on it, was, how well do we suffer? How well do we suffer? Do we suffer gracefully, as we see Jesus and the we're about to have Lent, you know, the stations of the cross, and there's something so graceful about the way that Jesus suffers. There's something so graceful about the way that Mary suffers. There's something graceful about Joseph and how he suffers. And I think that the question that we deal with here, and Job suffers well, he never leaves the faith. And when something bad happens to him, his response is to worship. Even when his friends come over and say, hey, Job, you got a bad deal, and here's why you're suffering, and blah, 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 blah. And then his wife says, you ought to just give up on God. He doesn't. He sticks to the Lord. He's rewarded for it, but he suffers gracefully. How well do you suffer? How well do I suffer? It's a question to pray about. And I think when we suffer, we can suffer in a sinful sort of way. People deal with things, and so they go to the bottle, or they go to the computer, or they deal with things and sufferings, and so they start gossiping about the person that did them wrong, or the start, why me, woe is me mentality, you know. That's not a very graceful way to suffer. The graceful way to suffer is we look at the lives of the saints. And there's just a few recent saints that I think we ought to think about. They're almost there. They're not saints yet. Blessed Carlo Acutis, one miracle away. Here's this teenage kid who played soccer, wore blue jeans, went to daily mass, served daily mass, lived a holy life. And he comes down with leukemia. He died in 2005. But when he came down with leukemia, he said, I'm just going to keep playing soccer. I'm going to keep doing my life. And I'm going to keep mass. I'm going to keep faithful. And he continued his chronicling all the Eucharistic miracles, you know, which was his big hobby, you know. And he didn't. And then some, you know, his friends would say, you just have a real bad deal. And he said, no. No, I'm looking forward to meeting, to going to heaven. And the faith of this Carlo Acutis, in fact, when it got started getting really bad, he said, I offer all my sufferings for the lost souls, for the Pope, and for the whole church. As a 15-year-old kid, amazing. Another one that comes to mind is servant of God. She's on the first step of sainthood, Michelle Dupong from North Dakota. And she was a focus missionary. and she dealt with a lot of difficulties. Cancer came her way also. But she never thought about herself when she was in the hospital. I think I told you this about a year ago, but it really moved me when I heard that she was there towards the very last days of her life. And she was ministering to the doctors and nurses who looked overworked to her. And she wanted to know how she could pray for them. And they said, and the nurse, she said, I've had to step out of that room and cry. And she broke down and started crying. She said, this woman is about to die and she's thinking about me. And that's to suffer gracefully, selflessly. And the last one is a servant of God, Chiara Corbella. And she was born in the same year as Michelle Dupont in 1984. She died in 2012, Chiara Corbella. And she had two children that were born, and both of them, two different pregnancies, and both of them died a half hour into this world. And then the third child was born well, but during that pregnancy, they told her, we have bad news, that unless you have a tumor, and unless we basically would have to terminate the pregnancy, and she said, I'm not going to do it. And she said, somebody told her that your suffering is so great. You've lost. She said, no, they're in heaven. She said, my children are in heaven, and I can't wait to go meet them. And she said, suffering from a distance seems something horrible. But when a person lives it on his or her own with faith, it's not that bad. And I think that's probably true. We can look at lives of other people and think, whoa, you got a bad deal. But those people, when they're suffering with faith, are not actually suffering as bad as you think. And that's to suffer gracefully, to suffer joyfully, to suffer with faith. John Vianney said suffering, he said this about the day-to-day sufferings of life. And he said, suffering when born out of love turns out not to be too much suffering. The sting is removed. The sting is removed when it is born out of love. And so Job gives us that good example. And so do all the saints. And so do our blessed Lord Jesus. Maybe just think about what sort of sufferings are you dealing with? And pray about those here in this beautiful Mass. Now that we're in heaven, pray about those and say, how can I deal with this more gracefully? What would somebody I know and how would somebody that I know and admire deal with this suffering? And maybe, Lord, help me to suffer well. I talked too long there. I'll skip the second reading. The gospel, though, I am going to tell you this. I just think it's beautiful. Here is Jesus. Here is Jesus who heals this mother, Simon's mother-in-law, and then she responds by serving. When Jesus heals us, our response is service. I think that's beautiful. But then he goes off, he's healing all these people, and then he goes off to a deserted place to pray. And that is what we must model our lives after Jesus. We must look for quiet places to pray. And Lent is around the corner. Maybe instead of giving up chocolate, we got time to pray and think yet, but maybe instead of giving up something like chocolate or whatever, what if 1% of the day is 15 minutes? What if 1% of the day we gave to Jesus in silence? 1%. Do you know how much good would come from that? 1% of our day to Jesus in silence. Jesus needed the silence in order to continue to do God's will, the Father's will. And we need silence if we ever want to be useful servants. And so let's ask our dear Lord to help us in that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.